Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you so much for giving us wisdom and discernment for these days ahead and the days that we're in now, so we can cooperate with you in this wonderful thing that you're doing. And Lord, we know there is a shaking coming, a mighty shaking. And it's happening in the world today in a spiritual way, but it could happen in a physical way too. And we just want you to show us wisdom for this today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk about, I guess, the fall of Babylon and Edom. And I'm going to start in Hebrews 12 and 14. Where Paul says, follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Sanctification is the process of separating us from our sins unto God, right? Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. How could this happen? Well, he goes on to say, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Well, he's about to talk about Esau and his falling away, and his seed which he defiled. Edom, it's called in the scriptures. And the problem God had with Esau and Edom was that they factioned against their brothers. They hated their brothers. I want to say that there is a parable of this happening in the world. We can see people out there who are Americans fighting against Americans, not considering even their thoughts, trying to remove them from any kind of media, railing, burning churches, blah, 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 on and on. You know, they're Edomites. But also there's Edomites in the church. And Esau lost his position with God as the firstborn because of who he was and what he did to his brother, who was the elect. That means the ones who bore fruit and were chosen. That was Jacob. So he constantly came against his brother, hated his brother, railed at his brother, so on and so forth. And he defiled many people with his words, just like they are today. These words go forth and they carry with them spirits of faction and witchcraft and slander, etc., etc. But he goes on to say, lest there be any fornicator, because they're fornicators, both in the world and in the kingdom, or profane person, they're all profane, as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. Now, I know the Lord uses this in me because I've been saying for years it means that because he followed after the flesh, right? One mess of meat. He sold his own birthright. And this is true of the people in America who are being judged and going to be judged for their hatred here. They should just leave, right? No, they don't do that. That's not what those spirits do. They sit around and chew on you. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. That's right. For he found no place for a change of mind, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now they put in his father. Well, no, that wasn't the problem. He couldn't change his mind. And though he sought it diligently with tears, he continued on in that evil path. So now he's going to share with you an awesome story here that's important to us, especially in these end times, because it is written to us, really. He goes on to say, for you are not come unto a mount that might be touched and that burned with fire and unto blackness and darkness and tempest. It couldn't be touched. This was not a physical mountain. It's a spiritual mountain that the people of God come to. In this revelation, you're going to see that they're coming to Zion, Jerusalem, but not any Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. And heavenly Jerusalem, of course, was the angel spoke to John that this was the bride, heavenly Jerusalem. Our trek is to enter into the bride. Many will not do that. I mean, even if they're Christians, they will not do that. That's sad that this knowledge is not known among Christianity, but it's the truth. But unto blackness and darkness, and I'm going to skip on down, and a sound of a trumpet. We know also there's a voice of a sound of a trumpet that is coming very soon. I'm going to go down to verse 21. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. What was this all about? It's the story of Moses coming, or actually being caught up to the throne of God, spiritually speaking, the mountain of God, and bringing the word of God back to the people, which is the man-child's job. Yes. And that story is in Exodus 19. I'll just read you a little piece of it, 17 through 21. And it says, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. Now we have to come forth and suffer without the camp, meaning coming out of apostate Christianity, to meet God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai, the whole of it smoked, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And there's a visitation of the Lord. We're going to talk about the visitation of the Lord, the coming of the man-child, and we're going to talk about the judgments that happened because of that, okay? And the whole mount quaked greatly. That mountains are representative of kingdoms. It quaked greatly. This great quake is another parallel that we'll be seeing through this whole situation here. And when the voice of the trumpet waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him in a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. There he is, being caught up to the throne of God. And Moses went up. And of course, he went up for the purpose of getting this anointing, this throne anointing, to come back with. Well, if you just read a little few more verses down, you see it was the Ten Commandments. All was a type and a shadow given unto us so that we might see. Because the Bible says very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now these things happened unto them by way of example. The word example there means a way or of a figure or a, a shadow, a shadow or a figure, an example. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Of course, he spoke this hour, meaning the First Corinthians here, the Corinthians, the Gentile church. Okay, so let's go back to our text in Hebrews. And I'm going to read verse 21 again. So fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. There it is. Exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion. This is a spiritual entity, not a physical entity, because he said you couldn't touch that mountain. And unto the city of the living God. Well, this is a spiritual thing. The city of God is not the physical Jerusalem that's fallen into corruption and rebellion and everything else. In the New Testament, of course, it's the spiritual city of God, Zion, Jerusalem. And in fact, he says, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem and to innumerable hosts of angels and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. So you've come to Jerusalem and the church itself, which is the larger body. Okay. The bride is in the midst of the larger body. The church would have been Israel, the fullness of Israel. In type and shadow, I'm talking about, who are enrolled in heaven. So they're not in heaven, but they're enrolled in heaven, right? Not physically in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. So we've got this new mediator here now. The Lord's talking about Jesus. It's not Moses anymore. It's Jesus. Moses was a type of Jesus, however. And we're told that too. I think that's in Hebrews 3 somewhere. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on the earth, that was Moses, who was on the shaking mount, right? That was Moses. Much more shall not we escape who turn away from him, that is, from heaven. That is the Lord himself. And by the way, that's where the man-child is coming from, too. He's caught up to the throne. Moses in type was caught up to the throne, came back down to give the law to the people, which is why the man-child is going to the throne, is to receive an anointing to speak as Jesus spoke and do the miracles that Jesus did, and so on and so forth. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. Okay, so, you know, there's two ways you can see this, both a physical way and a spiritual way. We do know that Planet X is coming through, and it is going to shake the whole earth. I can't say when, don't have telescopes and those kind of things, but leaning on a couple of or two or three people that do, it looks like it's sometime in the spring or early summer that the crossing could happen, okay? At least according to these folks. But also there is a shaking that's happening now. We're seeing it. Things that have gone on for a long, long time. The deep state was in control of the government. They no longer are that in control, but they are, making war against us. And there's a shaking because governments have been overthrown. People that are deep staters have been thrown out. Of course, we still have some governors in this country that are, you know, ludicrous and, tormenting their people and not defending their people and so on and so forth. All this is going down, okay, because these are more of the Edomites. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those and things wasn't in the original. It's not even in the numeric, right? The removing of those that are shaken as of made, that those which are not shaken may remain. He's talking about people. The things was added in there to make you think about things. It's people that are going to be shaken. Going back to the beginning of our text here, there was somebody who was rejected from the kingdom. They were in it, but they hated their brother, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the Lord rejected them. The testings that they went through, these shakings that they went through, they failed in. This is talking about people. It's not talking about things. Will things shake? Yeah, sure, but that's not the point here. That's not the point here. So that those that are not shaken may remain, of course, because they're going to remain in the kingdom. But these other people, if you just look at the text, you can see he's not skipping around. He's talking about the same thing. Wherefore, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing unto God with reverence and awe. So those who walk in the kingdom will not be shaken, and those who do not walk in the kingdom, though they claim to be Christians, or though they claim to be Americans, if you want to look at the political side, they're not going to be accepted. For our God is a consuming fire. Okay, so this great shaking didn't happen in the time of Israel when they had the covenant. It didn't happen, but it was prophesied to come by Haggai, which I will read to you some of that too. Haggai chapter 2. The same story is here. The man-child being caught up to the throne of authority. The Lord coming in the man-child is here. The shaking and the overthrow of these kingdoms, which I'm going to call Babylon and Edom. I know that many other, like Moab, represented also a faction. And there's other groups that, you know, represented faction because they hated their brother. They turned against their brother. They were traitors. We have traitors in the United States now that are burning things down and killing people, and so on, especially with the support of traitors in the government, you know, like, governors and so on and so forth. So these traitors, we have traitors in the church too, turn against, lie, slander, just exactly like the ones in the government do. It was prophesied many years ago that there would be a parallel between the natural and the spiritual, and we're watching it. It is happening. It's an amazing thing. So let's look at Haggai for a minute, because Haggai speaks about this. I want to remind you that this shaking in the natural did not happen to the Jews. It was a prophecy of the future from Haggai when he spoke about this great shaking. So we see coming down the road very near a physical shaking, and we know that a spiritual shaking is happening, and we know that there's one thread that runs through all of this called the Red Sea. It's a parable, and it's used quite often in the scriptures. About the fall of Edom and about the fall of Babylon. It's always spoken about. Not always, but most often spoken about. So, Haggai chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. So there's a shaking. Now, I believe we have a physical shaking coming, and I can see that the spiritual shaking is already happening, okay? And I will shake all nations, and the precious of the earth, or the word Hebrew is desired, the desired. The precious or desired of all nations shall come. And of course we know that this is talking about the Lord Jesus coming, and we know that he is coming first in his man-child before he comes personally at the end of the tribulation. But first he's coming in his man-child in these days, which is a first fruits company who has brought forth his fruit. You know, the fruit in, for instance, Zerubbabel here was the leader, and Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was the first fruits to come out of Babylon as a leader and lead the people out of Babylon back to their promised land, because they fell away and were taken into captivity. Okay? So we know how Jesus is coming. And, you know, he's told us that in Hosea 6 and 1, 2, 3. He's coming again as the rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Okay? And he said, I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. What is the glory? What is the house? The house is the house of God. In the New Testament, though, the house of God is the people of God, the real people of God. I'm not talking about the harlot, the real people of God. And how does it get filled with glory? Well, we're told that we all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. And so Paul said that to say that when you look in the mirror and you see Jesus by faith in the gospel, the good news that you don't live anymore, he lives, then his glory comes in you as an answer to your faith. And so this is the Lord coming in his house. This is the Lord coming in his glory, glorifying himself 30, 60, and 100-fold, just exactly as the Lord Jesus told us. That's fruit. And the fruit was what? The fruit was himself, because he sowed the seed of the word of God in the hearts of men in that parable of the sower. So the fruit is himself in his people through the word and through the spirit. So the he's going to fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts, and he's going to use it just the way he wants to in these days to rebuild his kingdom. We've talked about that. He is doing it. It's a tremendous miracle, and he's going to rebuild his kingdom. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. So, yes, the former glory of this house was more like a type and a shadow in the Old Testament. But the real glory is when the Lord comes in his people, his house being his people. The real glory and the mighty power of God is going that Jesus manifested when he came in his house back then. That mighty power of God is once again now coming to the people of God. And it's going to be seen everywhere throughout there. Some won't understand it. Some will fight against it. Some will be amazed and come out of their apostate religions and follow, just like in Jesus' day. It's a type and a shadow of Jesus' day. Okay? And then he gives this day, verse 10, in the 24th day of the 9th month, in second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, and he began to talk to the priests about how their uncleanness, and is this acceptable, and so on and so forth. Gives a little parable there. That's the problem, is the priests, we are a kingdom of priests, Exodus 19 says, must be holy and righteous and pure. Otherwise, they're going to be shaken. They're going to be shaken out of their place, just like Edom or Esau was shaken out of their place, right? Okay, so this 24th day, the 24th day of the 9th month, is Kislev 24. Kislev 24. Now, since this prophecy, naturally speaking, did not happen among the Jews, it was speaking of something that was going to happen in the latter days. And it's speaking to the Gentile church, those who are Jews, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, who are circumcised in heart, rather than circumcised in flesh. And that is the Jews in the New Testament. Sorry, you just have to do your homework to find this out, but it's the truth. And so this is coming, this prophecy here is coming to the church in these days. Okay, we know that a physical shaking is coming to the church in these days, a mighty shaking. And many things are going to be shaken. Many people are going to lose their lives. Many are going to be rejected, and many are going to stand, because the things that can't be shaken can't be shaken. So this, let me say this, that in 1 Corinthians 10:11, as I pointed out to you, that the things that happened unto them were for our admonition. They were by way of example or type or figure, same words, okay? But they were for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, are come. Okay, so that's, he was talking to the Gentile church there. Now, let me say, the church is mostly Gentile, but the church is also Jew, because we've been joined together with the physical Jews in one body through faith in Christ. If you're going back under the law, you're being separated from Christ. I'm sorry, that's what the Bible says, because the law passed away in Christ. And the law was a meantime thing, Paul said, until the seed should come to whom the promise was due, which was Christ. And the law was done away in Christ. I'm sorry. You'll have to figure that out. This is another sermon here. So anyway, he's speaking in this to the Gentiles. Now, if you took that date, let me say this. I'm just going to throw this out there. If you took that day, the ninth month, 24th day, it would end up being September the 24th. Interesting. Wonder if God is going to use this, since he's speaking to the church in these days. Wonder if he's going to use that date or the other. That's very interesting. They're not at the same time, right? Kislev 24 is actually in 2020 in the United States. It would be December the 11th, I believe, and the 10th in Israel. So December the 11th, 2020, that would be one. And then there's September the 24th, which comes before that, right? September, October, November, December. Interesting, recently we got a revelation that the man-child was coming early, months ahead of what we had thought. Okay, I'm not quite sure about that, but look here. I'm not denying that. I'm just looking at this point right here on the 24th. There's two 24s here. One of them's before the other one. Don't know if this is saying it's going to be that far ahead. I don't know. What I want to talk to you about is what the number 24 represents. We don't know if, as a date, it's going to come to pass on the December the 11th or September 24th. We don't know if it's going to come to pass on a date. But we know what 24 means. And all we've got to do is read this text, and we can see what it represents. Verse 15, Haggai 2, 15. And now I pray you, and consider from this day and backward. This day being, well, he just got through telling you, the ninth month, 24th day. From this day and backward, before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Okay, so this day was when the temple began to be laid. The foundation of the temple began to be laid on this time, at this time, he's telling us. But he's also pointing out to you what happened before this time and what happened after this time. in this coming text and right here. And now I pray you consider from this day and backward before a stone was laid in the temple. Okay. Now, who was it that came to begin the new covenant? It was Jesus. The revival started right there. He laid the foundation with the apostles. He sent them out to ordain elders who again spread the kingdom. And so he did this. The man child, Jesus, came to begin the foundation of the temple in those days. The temple being the people of God. Okay. So I'm going to read on. So he's telling you, just remember this. Consider from this day and backward, before the people laid the foundation of the temple. Through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. And when one came to to the wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. Well, that doesn't sound good. That sounds like a curse. Sounds like they're being plundered, right? And this is what? From this day and backward, what happened? In other words, before this day, they were living under a curse. Now, when you read the rest of the text of chapter 1 and so on and so forth, you see that they were just doing their own thing. They were building their own stuff. And there's a lot of churches out there, they're building their own houses. They're not building the house of God, because it would look just like this one in the Bible did in the New Testament. And it doesn't. And so, yes, that's what's happening. Without you being actually put into the temple, you're just doing your own thing. You're either abiding in Christ, who is the temple of God. You know, Jesus brought forth the body of Christ. And as I always say, the one who lives in the body of Christ is Christ himself. If he's not there, you're doing your own thing. Okay. So before the temple was being put together, which is the body of Christ, they were just doing their own thing. Now that's what people are doing out there now. The religions are all doing that. They're just doing their own thing. Okay. Verse 17. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the work of your hands, yet you turn not to me, says the Lord. So he was chastening them before the stone was laid in the temple, before the date of the ninth month, 24th day. Before. He's still telling you. Now remember, it's before, right? Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. So consider that you were living under a curse when you were doing your own thing, building your own house, calling it God's house, and so on and so forth. Consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yes. The vine and the fig tree? And the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. From this day, meaning forward, will I bless you. So what is in the middle between the curse and the blessing but this 24th day? Now that's what the 24 represents. It represents a turn of events, a change, a reformation from doing your own thing to doing what God wants. Now, when Jesus came, that's exactly what he did. He rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees because they were building their own house. They were not building his house. He rebuked them, and people heard it and understood it and began to follow him and became members of the temple, the real temple of God, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the temple of God. And the one who lives in the body of Christ is Christ himself. By his word, by his spirit, but it's him. Okay? So now he says, and from this day, that's the 24th day, will I bless you? Okay, what we see what the cursing is. We see that for years God's people have been living under curses. We see that people aren't getting the fullness of what the provision that Jesus gave us. We see the curse. We see it in the church. We see it outside the church. We can see it. But he's saying after the 24th day, it's going to be different. What happens there on the 24th day? Well, it starts on the 24th day. Okay. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. Now, Zerubbabel led a company of people out of Babylon to come back and rebuild the temple. Well, they were in Babylon. They were not in their promised land. They were in Babylon. What is most of the church out there? It's in Babylon. It's Babylonish religion. The mother of harlots. Notice it says, the mother of the harlots. That means all the members are harlots. You understand? They're in Babylon. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Okay, what did Jesus do? He brought them out from among them. He delivered them out of the sects of Babylonish Jewish religion. He delivered them. That's what Jesus, the man-child, did. Now you got Zerubbabel as a type of that, showing you the exact same thing. You got the coming of the Lord in his man-child, and you got the blessings returned, so on and so forth. A change. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Well, there you go. What's going to come afterwards is a shaking of the heaven and the earth. What's going to come from the 24th day is a shaking of the heavens and the earth. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms and will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Oh, well, you know, when God's people came out of Egypt, which he's about to mention here, a kingdom was overthrown. It was Pharaoh and his kingdom. His throne was overthrown. And the history proves that that Pharaoh actually drowned. Yes, they discovered that. And by the way, he didn't go back to Egypt, you know, afterwards, like the Ten Commandments. That's a bunch of baloney. He drowned in the Red Sea with all of his army. The kingdom was overthrown. And kingdoms are being overthrown out there. I don't know if you've noticed it. Countries are giving over to the conservatives. And the deep state who controlled them is losing out, one right after another. We've got one to the north of us there, Canada. That guy's all mixed up in the baby sacrificing and stuff like that. He ain't going to be long. He's gone. And a bunch of others are gone. And you just watch and wait and see. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. Wow, that sounds like Pharaoh coming out of Egypt. So, of course, we know that this Red Sea experience happened a long time before Haggai ever came along. So this is being spoken prophetically here, an overthrow of the kingdom. Egypt is seen as the world, as the whole world. God's people are in bondage to their old man, who is a part of the world. And at the Red Sea, Paul called it a baptism, where the old man went down and the new man came up and went into the, the wilderness, which Revelation calls the tribulation. Okay. So that's what's going to happen, contrary to what people desire, which is, if you make your wishful thinking doctrines out there, you're not going to find the truth anywhere. You just have to go by what the scripture says. So, I will overthrow the chariots and them that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Well, that's interesting. He's mixing two parables here now, the coming out of Egypt and Jehoshaphat's situation, where he represented the man-child in a time when three armies were coming against Jerusalem again. Notice, this is in Jerusalem here. The book of Haggai, that's the man-child in Jerusalem. And the story he's talking about, the two of them, the Red Sea situation, there was the man-child who was leading God's people out of Egypt. That was Moses. And here we got the man-child, Zerubbabel, leading his people out of Babylon, and he's comparing it to that being led out of Egypt and the destruction of the riders that chased them, their enemies that were chasing them to the Red Sea to bring them back into bondage. Is the deep state chasing us right now? Yes, of course. How about the faction in the church? Yes, of course. They're doing just that. They're attempting to overthrow the people of God, and we know who's really going to be overthrown here, don't we? Yeah. Babylon, deep state, and Edom, the faction in the church. So, by the sword of his brother was what happened with Jehoshaphat when he and the people of Jerusalem were in right relationship with God. And these three armies came, and God said to them, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of this. You just go out there and praise me, and you won't have to fight in this battle. I'll take care of it. And what did he do? He turned the factions, the three factions that were coming against Jerusalem, the bride, and the man-child, he turned them against one another, and they killed each other off. Yes. And that parable is shown quite a few times in the scriptures, too. You know, we've even talked about it a couple of times, you know, in the last few days. So, by the sword of his brother. Okay, but because that didn't happen in Egypt. He's mixing the two parables there, isn't he? Yeah. In that day, says the Lord, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, that is, born from Babylon, my servant. He was a first fruits born from Babylon, like Jesus was. Jesus came out from among them. Then he led his disciples out from among them, right? Yes, he did. And Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. So Zerubbabel was a signet. He was a signet. He was, it would be kind of like the ring that was given to Mordecai, which gave him the authority of the King of Kings. He was the man-child. He was given authority as the King of Kings. And of course, he and Esther the bride brought down Haman, who was the faction against them, who hated them and wanted to kill God's people, just like the faction today in the church and in the government or in the United States, right? For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts, a signet. Joseph got a signet. He got was given authority by Pharaoh when he came out of prison, right? And pretty much Zerubbabel came out of prison, you know. They were in bondage to Babylon, and he came out, and he brought others with him. And Haggai the prophet was there, you know, and together they obeyed the Lord. So what can we see everywhere in Scripture? What we see is what's coming, what is coming to us. We've been telling you about the Red Sea happening that's coming. We can see it spiritually happening, and we know it's physically going to happen, not in the physical Red Sea in that sense, but in a destruction of the enemies. And so let's look at some more scripture that points to these same exact parallels. And I'm talking about the fall of Edom and the fall of Babylon as the deep state. Their fall at the time of the coming of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Notice that I shared that with you in Haggai 2 and 6, where the desired of the nations is coming to fill the house with glory. That's the Lord himself. He's going to fill the house with glory. So you got the coming of the Lord. You got the coming of the man-child. You got the destruction of the Edom, which is the factious against their brothers, traitors against their brothers. And you got Babylon deep state, who is traitors to their own countries and fighting against their own countries, killing them with diseases. And they're not through doing that either. So you see, they're traitors. They're Satanists. Both sides are Satanists. They follow Satan, you see. So if we start looking at these parallels, we're going to see the same thing in many other places in Scripture, which is to let you know that what I'm telling you is the truth. Okay? Okay, let's go to Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. And Isaiah is wishing for exactly what we've been describing. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and that thou wouldest come down. Did the Lord come down to Moses on top of the mountain? Yep, he did. And he called him up to the top of the mountain, which is the top of the kingdom. He called him up there. He was caught up to the throne of God, just like the man-child in Revelation 12. And that is a corporate body of first fruits believers who are going to bring reformation to the church. They don't get the credit. It's the Lord in them that gets the credit. Because the one that lives in the man-child by word of God and by spirit is the Lord himself. And he's coming to do it. He's not trusting anybody else. He's coming to do it. Rend the heavens that thou wouldest come down and that the mountains might quake at thy presence. Uh-oh, he's there. He came down. This is a prophecy, of course, future events. And he came down in this revelation and the earth quaked. We're going to find that everywhere. You know, when Jesus was the man-child who was caught up to the throne at his resurrection, it was a great earthquake, the Bible tells us in Matthew. There was an earthquake when he died, and when he resurrected, there was a great earthquake, you know, 3 days later, right? A quake at thy presence, this coming down, and the glory that happened to Moses, that he had to put a veil on his face because the glory of God was shining out of him, represented the man-child. Okay. As when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. When he comes, he's coming with judgment against his adversaries, against the Edomites, those in government positions, those leftists in the political world who are fighting against God's people, the anarchists and the Muslims and the communists and all these people, right? They're fighting against their own brothers because of these demons in them, right? To make thy name known, they're going to find out who's who. The church don't know who's who. They don't know what Jesus looks like. How can you behold Jesus in the mirror if you don't know what he looks like? The only way you can find that out is to read the Word of God because it's a manifestation of him. He is, quote, the Word of God. Okay? to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. There it is. Oh, my. You know what? A lot of people aren't going to know what's happening. They're not knowing that the Lord is coming in this. Yes, the Lord is coming in this. When they did terrible things, when thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for. And they're not looking forward to this. They're not looking. They're not knowing that this is coming, that the Lord is coming. He's coming in his man-child. He's coming with judgment. Thou camest down. The mountains quaked at thy presence. And from of old men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee who worketh for him that waiteth for him. Yes, we're waiting for the Lord, the coming of the Lord, not the personal coming of the Lord, but the Lord coming in his people so that he can take his people, right? If the Lord don't live in you, you ain't going. And that's what Jesus said. So, let's go back and read some more text here, just close to here. I'm going to go to Isaiah 62 in verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth. That's kind of where we are, right? Say ye to the daughter of Zion, that's the bride, behold, thy salvation cometh. What is he going to save them from? Well, the Edomites. If you just read on down. Thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Yes, what is that recompense coming before him? It's a great shaking to separate the things that can be shaken from the things that can't be shaken. And we just realize what that was over in Hebrews. Okay? There's those people who can be shaken and those people that can't be shaken. They're not going to worry about these things. The wicked are always fearful. You know? So, his reward is with him. He's got a reward. There's a line being drawn here. This is 24 all over again. His reward is with him. But before that day, his recompense is before him. You see the line drawn? There's your 24 right there. The meaning of 24. There it is. His reward is with him. Recompense before him. Okay. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, bought and taken, right? Redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Well, their city was forsaken when they fell away and were taken into captivity to Babylon, just like the church has been taken into captivity to Babylonish religion. Their leaders all went their own way. You know, they didn't follow the book. And so they were taken into this Babylonish captivity, and now the man-child is coming to lead them out of captivity to their true position as the kingdom of God, the mountain of God, the kingdom of God, who in the center, of course, is Zion, the leadership of the kingdom, who was led by David as a type and shadow of the man-child, okay? All of the parables have to be fit together, and, you know, and this will prove what's going to happen. So, 63 and 1 says, because there wasn't a 63 and 1 there, it just went on saying this, who is this that cometh from Edom? That's the Lord, you know, coming from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah. Bozrah means the sheepfold. It's the sheepfold of Edom. You know, there's those sheep out there that they don't know they're Edomites. In other words, they're Esau's seed. In other words, they've been rejected because of a root of bitterness. They don't know that. You see anybody out there that's bitter? Well, don't watch the national news. Watch on the internet and see what they're doing to the cities. Yeah, their hatred. And see what they're doing to the churches. Their hatred for Jacob, Israel, New Testament Israel. They hate them. They're Edomites. But the Lord's coming to whoop them. This that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Yeah, he's coming to save his people from the Edomites. They've had enough. They've been crucified enough. Now God's going to take down, just like he did, by the way, in 70 AD, he took down the apostate religious system, and the beast, the Roman beast, marched in there and took them down. Yeah. And Jesus prophesied it too. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine vat? You know what wine represents, right? The blood, right? Remember? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger. I trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. Amen. So, here comes the Lord in a shaking to deliver his people. There's the before. They were in bondage to these Edomites. And then there was the after, the destruction of the Edomites. Part of what we saw over there in Haggai, of the overthrow of kingdoms, the casting down of Pharaoh's chariots as they went after God's people to try to bring them back into bondage, just like the deep state is doing now, and just like the faction in the church is trying to do now. They don't just go away. They sit out there and chew on you. As I said, they're demon-possessed. So I'm going to jump over to 63:11. It says, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Oh, so now he's talking about a parable way before this time, but applying it to this time and applying it to our time. Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? The arm of the Lord. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who is that? Jesus Christ, the arm of the Lord. Moses wasn't alone when he did all this. Remember, he had a veil on his face. Pick the veil up and look in there and see who was there, right? There was glory there that divided the waters before them. So now he's applying this to the Red Sea. Divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name. Yes, he became famous to the pagans around Israel because of what their God did at the Red Sea. Yeah. That led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness so that they stumbled not. He led them through the depths. Yeah. And they went through on dry ground. But Pharaoh didn't get to walk on dry ground. Not for long. The waves took him under. The baptism took out the old man and brought the new man to life on the other side. Praise God. Resurrection life of Jesus on the other side. So you see that this Red Sea is being applied to the shaking, the great shaking, the coming of the Lord in his man-child, and the number 24, the before, in the bondage and in the trouble, and everybody's waiting on the Lord, and when the Lord shows up, he smites the enemy and brings them down like Pharaoh at the Red Sea. Isn't that cool? Okay, 62:11-12, I read to you, and it was the coming of the Lord to save his people from the Edomites. So keep that in mind. So now I want to go to, I think I will go to another place where Babylon and Edom fall at the Red Sea. We'll start at Jeremiah 49:21. Jeremiah 49. We'll look at a few chapters here. All right. Jeremiah 49:21. And it says, I'm going to go back to 20. Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom. You know, in Ezekiel 34, when the man-child has become the leadership, Ezekiel 35, the first thing he does is destroy Edom in chapter 35. When David, you know, took over the throne as the man-child, he went out and he conquered Edom. Okay? So this is going to be a job of Jesus and the man-child, right? Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. That's the offspring of Esau, right? Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them. The earth trembleth. There it is, connecting the destruction of the Edomites, the faction against God's people, God's chosen people, with this great shaking. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. And who is it that he's talking about? Well, it's Edom. I'm going to go back and just read verse 7, and then we'll come back here. Of Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman, the leadership of Edom? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him. The time that I shall visit him is a visitation of the Lord. Oh, now back to where we were in verse 21. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. There is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah. Now, what have we been saying for quite a while now is that before Babylon is destroyed, it's going to come against the apostates, the faction. Babylon itself is going to bring destruction on the apostates. By the way, did you notice that the most liberal states and the most liberal cities have the most deaths from their own disease that they made? Check me out. Okay. Oh, and by the way, did you know that 100% of the people who died of COVID-19 had taken the flu vaccine? 100%. And that's proven from the CDC's own site and WHO, the World Health Organization's own site. 100%. Yeah. So you say they won't shoot themselves in the foot. I say that's exactly what they're doing. They're making sure that they don't make any headway in this election, too, because just what I read here, where's your brains? He's telling Edom. What happened to your wisdom? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? We call them the stupid demons. We're awed at how stupid they are when they try to, you know, falsely accuse people for doing the exact same things that they are doing. That's exactly what the government's done. They always accuse of what they are doing. The Russian collusion, it was them. Every time. And it's so stupid. And people are awed at their stupidity because God has taken it away. How can they win when God's taken away their wisdom? The deep state's won for a long time, many, many years. But the Lord has smitten them. And the deep state and the church is smitten too. So, like an eagle, which is Babylon, he'll spread out his wings against Bozrah, against the Edom sheepfold, which is the Christians, not Christians, but ones who claim they're Christians, right? And Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to go to, I guess, 50 and 46. Let's go to 50 and 46. And it says, at the noise, remember the noise, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembleth. And the cry is heard among the nations. The earth trembleth. And we'll look at 51:19 through 25. Jeremiah 51. Yeah, I'm gonna again back up one. I'll go to 18 because it speaks of their visitation again. The visitation of the Lord bringing the reward for the bride and bringing the judgment of the wicked. And here he talks about their idols that they've made to worship instead of the true God. And verse 18 then says, they are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. You know, the Edomites in the church, they follow what they believe is Jesus. But he is so contrary to the Bible. And when you say that, you point out verses, it just goes flying right over their head. It's like they just a daze comes upon them and they just ignore you. And so this is a visitation. Here it is, the coming of the Lord again. They shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these. The portion of Jacob is talking about the true God. He's talking about Babylon's God, and now he's talking about the true God. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things. In other words, he was the beginning. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. Of course, we know who New Testament spiritual Israel is, right? Those who are born again in the new covenant. There is no two covenants, friends. Those who go back under a covenant that God did not make with them as Gentiles, they're being separated from Christ, as Paul said. Very simple. That covenant does not exist. Okay. But the new covenant, because it's called new, it does exist. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. Who's he talking to now? He's talking to his people. They're his battle axe and weapons of war. He's given authority to his people to do warfare against the principalities and powers that rule over the Edomites in the church and the Edomites in the government and in America as Babylon. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I break in pieces the nations. Is it happening? Uh-huh. Yep, it is. With thee will I break in pieces. Who is doing this? The people of God who have suddenly discovered they've got authority in prayer and spiritual warfare. You see, the deep state don't know that. They don't know. They think it's Trump. They think it's the right wing, you know. But no, it's the people of God who are the ones behind all of this. They're the ones that are doing the praying. They're the ones that are casting down the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. It's them. And the time of their visitation, they shall perish. But this battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. There's your overthrow of kingdoms that Haggai spoke about. That we have been praying, you know, of course, that God would replace these people, and he is doing it. We've been doing this from the beginning, and he is doing it. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. There he's applying it to the Red Sea. Wow. So we see this overthrow is applied to this parable of the Red Sea. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and him that rideth therein. There you go again. And with thee will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces the old man and the youth. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the virgin. And with thee will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. Yes, the true people of God are the ones behind bringing down all of the apostates, all of this wicked system. They're the ones behind it. The Lord is telling them what to pray. Not only that, he has assigned warring angels to them. We know that personally. He has assigned warring angels to us to send forth. We've watched them go forth and do their job and come back. Ready for another one? And of course, he talks about the kings of the Medes conquering them down in verse 28. We know that's Cyrus, and we know that's Trump bringing down Babylon, etc. Okay. I'm going to look at Psalm 114. When Israel went forth out of Egypt. Okay, there it is. The house of Jacob from a people of strange language. They were in bondage to the old man, and they are strange. Judah became his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. Now, you need to pay attention to this, because this is still the truth. Judah and their capital city, the city of God, ruled over the rest of the dominion. It was his dominion. His presence was there. His sanctuary was there in the midst of Judah, in the midst of the quite holy city. Don't say that place over in the Middle East is the holy city. It's not. It hasn't been called the holy city except by men. It wasn't called in the Bible the holy city after Jesus was sanctified, after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. It wasn't called that. And it's not holy. It's anything but holy. And it's been judged in every kind of way. There is a holy city. They can't be touched. It's the heavenly Jerusalem that we have come to. Judah became his sanctuary. Israel his dominion. Judah means praise. Judah represents the full gospel, spirit-filled people who have not fallen away to foolishness. Okay, let me add. The sea saw it and fled. You know, when Planet X comes through here, you're going to see ground that you've never seen in your lifetime, and probably not for 3,600 years at least. And you're going to see places flooded that you haven't seen in your lifetime, and probably for 3,600 years. And, of course, when Israel came out of Egypt, the Egyptians wrote about looking up at this destroyer, they called it, and we call it Planet X. They looked up and saw this in the sky, and what do you know? The Red Sea parted, and God's people went through, right? So don't think that this thing that's coming is going to be a bother to God's people who walk holy with him. They're going to be fearless. This is a shaking, a great shaking. And those that can't be shaken, that's God's holy people. They can't be shaken. They'll even walk down into a parted Red Sea on dry ground. Never mind the wall on the right or the wall on their left of water. You know, they're brave people. And now, the Egyptians who followed them, they were deceived and very stupid, because it was Israel's God that did this, and he did it to take them out. And today, they don't have enough sense to know that he's going to take them out. The sea saw it and fled. The Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams. Well, now that's a pretty shaky mountain, I'd say. The little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleest? Thou Jordan, that thou turnest back? Yeah, what would make it flow backwards? Ye mountains that you skip like rams, you little hills like lambs, tremble thou, earth, at the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. At the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Now, you just can't get anywhere where this Lord cannot supply your needs. You just can't get anywhere like that. There is no such place. God is so awesome. This 24 is representing the coming of the Lord in his man-child to be a division between the curse and what came thereafter, which is the judgment of the enemies of God's people. Are you following me? The judgment of the enemies of God's people. So, I'm not stressing September 24th or Kislev 24, December the 11th here in America. I'm stressing what this number represents is a change of fortunes for God's people. Now, a crucifixion brings about a change of fortunes. Dead men don't die, you know. After death, there is nothing left but resurrection life in Jesus, right? People fear so much to lose their life in this world. And I'm talking about their carnal life, their false life. Losing that will gain you everything in the kingdom. Keeping it is like what happened before the 24th. in Haggai, building their own house, which won't last. It can be shaken. It will be shaken. It is being shaken. They're burning them down. Just yesterday, they burned another church down. They burned a bunch of churches down now. But they're not churches. The last one I saw burnt down, everything in there was burnt except the cross with Jesus on the cross. And it was a large one. It was probably 7 or 8 feet tall. Wood. I think Jesus was bronze or something like that. And God was making a point here. Yeah, it's pretty neat. Somebody sent that one to me that they burnt down. They've been things are being shaken here, you know. You can't burn the church down. You can burn buildings down, especially buildings of people who don't follow the Lord. You can burn buildings down, but you can't burn the church down. They're totally defended. Psalm 91, only with thine eyes thou shalt see and behold the reward of the wicked. Awesome. I would say more than awesome. I just got this dream right here I'm going to share with you. It's from Vanessa Weeks. She said, "Hi, David. I haven't even had time to put any interpretation in this or anything. Hi, David. I had this dream that seemed real on 7/30/20. I was working on it yesterday, and then when you spoke about God shaking all things, because I shared a little portion of what I'm sharing today with the locals, when you spoke about God shaking all things, I was reminded of it again. In a dream, we of UBM, locally, but a lot of times the Lord gives us dreams about local UBM, which are a type and a shadow of larger UBM, kind of like how he does. In a dream, we of UBM were together in a house in this area. We were relaxed and fellowshipping with each other. It was a cloudy day outside. As I thought on this later, the Lord brought this scripture to my mind. Ezekiel 34:12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. She went on to say, but we had sunshine in our hearts. I'm not sure how we heard that there had just been a devastating earthquake in this country. I think it was on the radio. And some people died in this earthquake. Not of us, but people did die in this earthquake. I'm sure a lot will die in those monster quakes that are coming. And let me say this. When I talk about spring and early summer of the crossing, I'm talking about the time when the very worst of the worst earthquakes will happen, the time when the earth passes through the tail of Planet X, a sand blasting from Planet X, of fireballs falling to the earth, yes, a burning up of much of probably this quadrant of the earth here, North America and South America. But the earthquakes are going to start long before that. And there could be some huge ones even before that. So I'm not trying to tie it to the actual crossing. But, you know, when Planet X is swinging around the sun, it is totally aggravating the sun. And from that, we could get some terrible, terrible earthquakes. So that can happen some months before. So I'm not trying to tie it to that. Personally, I think it's a good possibility that the man-child will come before the end of this year, and that because, you know, when David was crowned king, then he went and made war against the Edomites and conquered them. And by the way, then he conquered Jerusalem, Jebus, which became Zion, Jerusalem, and then he went and conquered the Edomites. So there's a sequence of events there I believe the Lord is speaking to us on. So let me finish this. We had not felt the quake, so we looked out the windows, as there were several windows in this house. We looked down on the damage of the mansions that were around the lake. This is a lake that we know about. It's not far from here. But there is a lot of mansions around that lake. And it seemed like the Lord is bringing down a people here. Damage of the mansions that are around the lake. And some mansions had fallen into the lake. Yeah. Only with your eyes you will look and see the reward of the wicked. Yeah. Then a while later, the house we were in started swaying, and it was an earthquake like I have never felt. It was rolling like we were riding waves on the sea. It was I was trying to hold on to something, but there was nothing to hold on to. And that's all that I remember. You know, there is an earth tide, and when Planet X passes by, it actually moves the earth, much like the moon moves the waters. An earth tide, and there'll be many earthquakes because of that. Of course, the earth is turning, so it's a wave going around the earth with large earthquakes. She said, the morning of this dream, and soon after I wrote this, I read my reading for the day, and it was Matthew chapter 27 and 28. There's those earthquakes. She was reading there when this happened. There are two earthquakes here, and the second one is greater. That's the resurrection, right? These were at Jesus' death and resurrection, and I might add, at the man-child's resurrection. Yeah, spiritual resurrection, because the Edomites, they know it's their job to crucify the man-child, to lie about the man-child and deceive about the man-child, turn people against the man-child, just as it happened in Jesus' day. So you know who the faction is, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people that worked for them, the Babylonish people. And Matthew 27, 50 and 51, and Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. Okay, and then Matthew 28, 1 through 6, now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone. One angel? Great earthquake? Mm-hmm. And sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake. Kind of like Moses quaked, right? And became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who hath been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And I asked the Lord for a word about this dream and received by faith at random, Job 27 and 21, in context, verses 18 through 21. He builded his house as the moth and as the booth which the keeper maketh. He lieth down rich, but he shall not be gathered to his fathers. He openeth his eyes, and he is not. Terrors overtake him like waters. Tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and it sweepeth him out of his place. There you go. This is the destruction of the wicked. And you know what the Bible says, that his reward is with him and his recompense before him. His recompense before him. As the Lord comes, there is judgment rolling in just before him. Yes. And let me see here. This is something that happened when we were recently, what was emphasized to us, the early coming of the man-child, which was strange because I actually prayed for that. I asked the Lord, Lord, can you come a little early? You know, we got a lot to do here. You know. And we got a revelation of that coming early. And so when we were thinking on this revelation, trying to figure it out, whatever, Missy got this. She said, "Hi, David. I don't know quite what to make of this," and asked the Lord if I should send it to you, and he gave me a yes with two heads. So last night I had this dream, and all I remember is this. I was getting my hair highlighted with blonde. And I would say that this is probably representing the bride who is wanting more submission to the son, getting her hair highlighted with blonde. Your hair represents submission, and blonde is like the sun. S-O-N, not S-U-N, right? Woven in with foils. The stylist didn't put as many in as I thought would normally be put in. In other words, she wasn't satisfied. And I don't think any of God's people are. I don't think anybody in the bride are satisfied. But it's going to be by grace. It's going, just like the man-child ministry, it's going to be by grace. They're walking in the light that they have, and they're being obedient, but it's still going to be by grace. And when she was done putting the foils in, I realized that she put in some dark color as well. I thought about the fact that I had that done before, and I did not like it and didn't want it again. Amen. We don't want that darkness. We don't want any submission to darkness, right? Blonde hair is a sign of submission to the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N. And the more we stand in the S-U-N/S-O-N, the blonder we get. And this is a warning not to let into our temple that which could bring submission to darkness leading up to the 24th. Remember, he rebuked the priests. I didn't read that, but I explained it, the priests, for being unclean. He was warning them, hey, judgment is coming. Some people will fear the Lord, and they will repent, and the Edomites won't. But an elect group among them will. She said, I asked for verses by faith at random for the dream and got, well, Daniel 10:3. 3 through 6, and here it is, 3. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth. Sounds like a fast. Neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Very interesting. You know, Eve asked the Lord what he wanted of us concerning the days leading up to the 24th day. And he got Psalm 34 and 4, which I'm going to share with you in just a minute. Which, you know, this, of course, appears like a spiritual fast. And hers did, too, a spiritual fast. Submitting to no flesh, as in the verse above, you know, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, Missy's text said. And here's verse 4, the next verse. And in the 24th day of the month, of the first month. Wow. There's the 24th day. And I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. And I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with pure gold of Uphaz. Well, you know what this looks like? On the 24th day, we've been noticing the presence of the Lord, the visitation of the Lord coming in his man-child. And notice, on the 24th day, the man-child here stood before the Lord. Wow. We got man-child verses for the 24th already. And Garrett got a revelation of the man-child coming earlier than we think. And I had been seeing, when this happened, 144, sometimes 4 times a day in different forms on clocks and whatever. It was amazing. Verse 6, his body also was like the beryl, and his face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as a flaming torches, and his arms and his feet likened to burnished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. How's that for confirmation, right? The 24th day. And here's Eve's text that I told you about a minute ago. When I asked Father for a word by faith at random as to what more he expected from us, my finger was on the phrase, sought the Lord. Sought the Lord in Psalm 34 and 4. Sought the Lord. 34 and 4. The same verse that's, that I just shared, the 24th day, was verse 4 too. Psalm 34 and 4. I sought the Lord. And verse 13 goes with Missy's dream too, below. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And here's verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. But of course, when you look up the faction or the Edomites and the people that turned against God, one of the most common words used was shame. Shame. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that taketh refuge in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. How about that? Well, that's why the mountain trembled when Moses was on it. He wanted the people to fear In fact, it said that they backed up away from the mountain. They stood afar off for fear of the Lord. And here comes Moses down with the word of God, which people should fear. And as we read in Hebrews 12, that if we feared him who was Moses, how much more should we fear him who's come from heaven? Him who spoke on earth, which was Moses, and him that's come from heaven, the Lord. Fear him. Fear the word of the Lord. Fear it. Amen. For there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Yes, there are deceivers out there. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Well, they seek anything but peace. And, of course, they love cursing, and it came upon them, as the scripture says. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard, and delivered them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that take refuge in him shall be condemned. What a psalm. Kind of covers what we're talking about today. And, let me see, I wanted to read something else here. Isaiah 13. I think 10 through 17. Let me read that to you. Okay, verse 9 talks about the day of the Lord, and we've shared with you how that there is kind of a mini day of the Lord before the tribulation, because the bride is going through before the tribulation the same thing that the church is going to go through in the tribulation. And the day of the Lord is the judgment of the wicked, both after they have crucified the bride and the man-child in the beginning, and after they have crucified the church in the end. Okay, so the first one is a spiritual day of the Lord. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation, and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. That's verse 9. Verse 10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. Verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than pure gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall come to pass that as the chaste roe, and as sheep that no man gathereth, they shall turn every man to his own people, and shall flee every man to his own land. Yes, I'll tell you, the deep state has invaded every nation. They have bribed, used witchcraft on all leaders of government. They have got them in compromising positions so that they could control them, and recorded it. And of course, all that's been passed on through the NSA to President Trump. The next verse says, "And I will stir up the Medes against them." Cyrus, he's coming against Babylon to destroy it. The Babylon is an entity that's in the United States. It's taken over the United States. And it's the eagle. People pledge allegiance to the flag and the eagle, you know, not realizing that they're pledging allegiance to a Satanist leadership that actually runs the country. And all that's being done away. Thanks be to God. The Lord is having his way. He's giving the victory. And you think, well, there's not much going on. Yeah, there is. And I'm totally convinced that what the Lord is using Trump to do is to show everybody. You can't just say something without showing it. Is to show everybody how foolish and how evil these people are. He's permitting this to be shown so that he has enough political capital to do something about it. He waited quite a while before he sent in military into different leftist states to capture the leaders, which he's been doing, of this Antifa, of these anarchists, of these Muslim leaders of Black Lives Matters, which, by the way, aren't any black people in there, hardly. It's all white people. But they're using this, you see, to try to bring down people, the economy, in order that Trump fails in this election. That's what they think. But they're angering the whole country to make sure he wins in this election. You see, all their theories are stupid. And all of their estimates are stupid, you know. It was just like when Hillary thought she was going in there, you know, the polls that they took. They were stupid, and they're stupid this time too. And that's because they think you're stupid. Did you believe that? I mean, look at the crowds that's gathering around Trump, and look at the crowds that are gathering around Biden. Just use a little bit of common sense. You can say, something's wrong here. Yeah. David, are you saying Trump's going back in? I am. And I'm praying for it too. Finish the job. Finish the job. I'm not saying we don't need to pray against the enemy and just coast now. I'm not believing that. I'm believing that we need to fight right through to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, right? Well, Father, we see a little bit of your plan here. You've given us a lot of parallel verses here about the coming of the Lord with his judgment against the Edomites, with his judgment against Babylon, with a Red Sea for both, with a great shaking, which I'm sure is a spiritual shaking, and will ultimately come to a physical shaking. And we've seen these parallels, Lord. They seem to be many, confirming what we're seeing and what we're expecting. Lord, we thank you that you show us these things. You've been very faithful. Lord, you showed us every person who factioned out. You gave us dreams about them that they were going to do it before they did it. But they don't have sense enough to know that that was God, because they fulfilled what God said was going to happen. And now they're so foolish that the only thing that's important to them is their own self-will. Well, Father, we ask you to open the eyes of the blind of your elect among them, that they may see. Open the eyes of your elect. Let them see and understand the lies that have been told, the deception that was put upon them, and the wickedness of the people around them. Father, we praise you for the victory that you're giving unto us, the humbling that you're giving to your people who are the elect among the faction, the humbling that you're bringing to them, and the greatness that you're bringing to their lives. This crucifixion will bring about a resurrection, and we pray for that constantly. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with our brothers that were taken into captivity and deceived by these people. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for them to open their eyes. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we appreciate you so much. We know that your plan is going to work. And the reason that Trump's plan is working is because you gave him that. And it wouldn't work otherwise. You gave him that plan. And the people that, you know, brought him in to do this. Now, we know that we've just got a limited time to enjoy this, Lord. But I believe that you've given us a time to rebuild the temple of God, to lay the foundation for a people that don't know what it looks like. And Lord, that these people will come to understand and grow up and mature in you and be used as vessels of honor instead of vessels of dishonor. And Lord, we're thanking you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness to your people, your drawing of your people, your love of your people, your deliverance of your people. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, even after the faction that was persecuting and killing your disciples, Paul came along, one of them, and you ordained that he would be able to tell the truth about what was going on behind the scenes with the Pharisees, because he was one of them. And he did. He told the truth about what was going on, about their blindness and so on. And Lord, we know that you're doing the exact same thing today, Lord. You're raising up people that even have something to prove, like Paul, who was totally anti-Christ before the time that you changed his heart. And thank you, Father, for doing what you're doing with him, with them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime. Good night.